Blog Talk Radio.
Father, cover every listening ear on this broadcast, those that are listening now, those that will be listening at a later time, Lord. Father, and we ask you to cover this broadcast, Lord. Father, we thank you, oh God, for seeing the blood covering this day. For Father, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, knowing that there is nothing that can happen to us today that the God in us cannot handle. You are tuned to Time to Talk About It, where I'm your host, Sister Diane, And this broadcast was founded by the late Apostle Gloria Cheever Porter. And we're trusting today that you're just going to receive the word as it comes forth. So as we prepare our hearts and our minds to pray, you know, go ahead and call a friend. Give them the number. Give them the link so that they can click on the link or they can dial in and hear this word coming forth today. Amen. You all know we start this broadcast off with prayer. So go ahead and get your prayer lists as we touch and agree, for we are our brothers and sisters keepers. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, giving you honor, glory, and praise, O God, thanking you, Lord Father, for this day, Lord Father, that wasn't promised to us, Lord. Father, we know, Lord Father, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord Father, that we can touch and agree, praying, Lord Father, one for another this day, O God. So, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, O God, we ask you for forgiveness and those that we're praying for, Lord. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespassed against us. Father, for we learn not to take nothing and no one for granted, Lord. So Father, as you see the prayer list is raised before you, Lord Father, and agreeing, Lord Father, we thanking you right now for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift your name on high this day. And when we say no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, Lord. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Kimberly, Lord Father. Father, as we come touching and agreeing right now, Lord Father, praying, Lord Father, for you to intervene on her behalf, O God. Father, you know her situation. You know what she's going through, O God. So, Father, we hold her and her children before you, Lord Father, and thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Aiden, Lord Father, and we plead the blood of Jesus over him. And, Father, we ask you, O God, to put his protective angels round about him, Lord Father. Rise him up right now in the name of Jesus. Father, use him this day in a mighty and a special way, O God. Father, the love for you, Lord Father, touch his heart, Lord Father, for you know it. Oh, Father, we just bless your name, Lord Father. We thanking you and just glorifying you this day, Lord. Cover his household right now, Lord Father, with the blood, Lord. Father, your protective angels round about those kids right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Evelyn right now, Lord Father, thanking you right now, Father, for regulating her blood sugar, Lord Father. Continue to keep her, Father. Regulate, Lord Father, everything in her body right now, not just her blood sugar, Lord Father, but everything right now in the name of Jesus. As we say, body, line up with the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Jaden, Lord Father. Father, and we plead the blood of Jesus over him from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet, Lord. And Father, as we touch and agree with Jaden, Lord Father, and his family, O God. Father, we asking you right now to intervene on his behalf, Lord Father. Intervene, Lord Father, as we ask for mercy this day, O God. Intervene right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we call in on you this day, Lord Father. Father, we know that nothing is too big and nothing is too hard for you, Lord Father. And we thank you, O God, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Deshaun, Lord Father, and we plead the blood of Jesus over him from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet, Lord. And Father, we thank you right now, Lord Father. Father, you know what he says he wants, Lord Father, in you, Lord Father. And Father, bring it back to his remembrance, Lord Father. And Father, we cancel the assignment of the enemy right now over him. And we render that assignment null and void right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your will being done. Lord, touch right now, Lord Father. See the blood covering this day in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Ashley, Lord Father, and we plead the blood of Jesus over him from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet. And Father, we plead the blood of Jesus, Lord Father, over his mind right now, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for regulating everything, Lord Father, within it right now. We thank you, Lord Father, for your protective angels standing guard continually round about him, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, as we touch and agree, Lord Father. Father, that we cancel every and any assignment, Lord Father, that was sent towards him or coming up against him right now in the name of Jesus. And we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we know, oh God, that demons, Lord Father, tremble, Lord Father, under the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We continue, Lord Father, to call upon you, Lord Father. And we thank you, Lord Father, for hearing and answering prayers, oh God. Now, Father, as we continue to hold our prayer lists before you, Lord, Father, you know each and every name, Lord Father, upon our prayer lists, Lord Father. So, Father, as we touch and agree, Lord Father, one to another, Lord Father, Father, we thank you for every prayer that you have answered, already answered and about to answer, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for the prayers that you're answering as we're praying, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for those that entrust us, Lord Father, to pray, Lord Father, for them, Lord Father, or pray, Lord Father, for their loved ones, Lord Father. We thank you and just glorifying you, O God, for we are our brothers and sisters, keepers, Lord. So, Father, continue, O God, to keep your prayer warriors, your watchmen, your intercessors this day, Lord, those that don't mind praying, Lord Father, in season and out of season, Lord. Father, continue to bless them, keep them, guide them this day, O God. Strengthen them when they're feeling weak, Lord Father. We thank you for refreshing, refilling, and rejuvenating them this day, O God. Father, for we take you not for granted. We thank you, O God, for being a God of many chances. We thank you, Lord Father, for being merciful, loving, and forgiving, God. Father, I ask you this day, O God, to touch our listeners right now, Lord. Father, those that are listening now, those that will be listening at a later time, those that are listening in other nations, Lord Father, country, islands, Lord Father, we ask you right now, Lord Father, to touch them, cover them under the blood, Lord Father. You know what they're in need of, oh God. And Father, we thanking you for your will being done in their lives right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just say thank you. We glorify and magnify you, O God, for this broadcast, Lord. Father, that is able, Lord Father, to touch others, Lord Father. Father, those other broadcasts that are lifting up your name, Lord Father, preaching, teaching your name, Lord Father, preparing, Lord Father, and warning your people, Lord Father. Father, we cover them under the blood right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you wake up, you just continue to thank God. Thank God, because this day wasn't promised to you. It was not promised to you. No one ought to tell you, pump you, prime you to praise God when you wake up, because it's a blessing. It's a second chance for you this day, not just to get it right, but for you to be a light in someone's darkness today, allowing God to use you. Allowing God to use you today. Remember, you may see someone in need of something. Be a blessing to them. Be a blessing to them. God may have you to talk to them. God may have you to just sit and listen. God may have you to help them in their time of need. And a lot of people, when, you know, God says, you know, do this for someone, give them someone, everyone quick to say, loose hair devil. But know the God that you serve, hear with the ears of the Spirit of God. Speak today with the Spirit of God. Allow God to use you this day. Your little act of kindness, do not go unnoticed. God sees all, he knows all, nothing is hidden from him. Even in the way that you give it, if you give him grudgingly, he sees all that. So what we can hide from man, we cannot hide from God. So I just want to let you all know today, I love you. I thank you. I appreciate you today for your continual support in this broadcast. Though the late Apostle Porter is not here anymore, I thank you all for the continual listeners. I thank you for the new listeners. I thank you all. I thank you all. And I appreciate you all. I take you not for granted. Life is so short. So short and getting shorter. So today, know the God that you serve. Know who you are and who you belong to. And always remember, you are not who they say you are, but you are who God says you are. Amen. And stand in your rightful place with your head held high. I'll give you the word for today. You never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have. Life. In life today. You never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have in life. God is awesome. God is love, and the greater one lives within you. Be awakened today on who lives in you. Amen. So just prepare your heart, prepare your mind, and just receive the word today. Amen. I bring forth to you the broadcast.
Oh, Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for you, you, and you. Give it honor to Apostle and Bishop Porter this day.
Amen.
Thanking God for what he's doing. Thanking God for being God Almighty. And truly thanking God for the opportunity because he is God. And when we look at today, we look at what's going on all around us, and we look at one another. And if you tell the truth, you watch one another, watch meaning, pay attention, take a look. And sometimes you may take a second look or a third look because God calling us into a place of being observant. Observant not meaning you're being nosy, but observant being you know. You know the person that is around you. You know whether or not they are going through changes. You know what's turning them, meaning that if they need a laughter, if they need something, you can just do something silly because it's so important in this day and age because there's so many people going through different things in life. And we have been talking about the woman within. And a lot of times people feel that we only talk about the good girls in the Bible, the ones that follow God, the ones that do everything that is right. But they say, well, I don't identify with those persons. I don't identify with them, but I identify with this. And the thing about the Word of God or the example that is in the Word of God, it lets you know that there's varieties in the world. They're just like there's so many different chocolate, different types of cake. You name the chocolate, the carrot, the lemon. I can go on and on. God made each and every one of us different. And you may not identify with one, but you can identify today. You can identify that even though hardship may come forth in your life, it all comes back to you. What do you do? You can make the difference in your own life. You say, why are we saying you can make a difference in your own life? Because the Word of God let us know when he made us in his image and in his likeness that he made us co-creator with him. And he let us know also that we have dominion and authority over all the power of the enemy. You say, what enemy? Anything that comes to derail you, anything that comes to stop you, anything that comes to block you is the enemy to the Word. For life in you, or the life of God in you. And when we look at it like that, and you are the co-creator, you can speak those things into your life. And I'm reminded about the scripture that said, as a man thinketh, so is he. So you got to think good of yourself. You got to think highly of yourself. I'm not saying get that little conceited spirit, we call it, but know your identity, who you are. How do you know who you are? Your surrounding what? Mold you. Your surrounding make you who you are. The words that have been spoken over your life, certain things in you. So when I was thinking, I said, you know, God, there's so many ladies going through so many things. And ladies, we're not just talking about you because the men can identify. When we use examples in the Word, you know what? Not all the time. The woman is the one going through. There's times that men go through too. So remember, with God, there is neither male nor female. And because there's no male nor female, you can identify when the Word of God comes forth or an example. Because remember, things happen to each person. So I just thank God today. And the one that came to me, well, it was Micah. And when I hear the word about Micah, who is she? What is she? Whose daughter is she? And how she became. okay to be who she is. Hey, when we look in the Word of God, we know that Michael was one Saul's daughter. She was the younger daughter of King Saul. But not only was she the younger daughter of King Saul, they said she was the one, a princess, because you know when the father is king, the seed becomes connected with a title. And they said she was the younger daughter of Saul. And then she was what? The first wife of David. And who is David? We know about David from the start with Goliath. We know about David running and hiding for his life. We know about David who later became king. And when we look at Micah, she was caught between a hard situation. He said, what was she caught into? We never took the time to pay attention. We know about Michael criticizing David when he was worshiping God. In the book of 1 Chronicles 15:29 talks about that. But we're going to put the talk about Michael for right now. She was the youngest daughter. And when you look at the youngest daughter, you may find out what her hang-up may have been. What caused her to do what she did? What was embedded in her for her? How did she feel? These are all questions we want to ask today. Was she in a place of frustration? What is frustration today? Unfulfilled needs. Unresolved problems cause frustration in a person's life. And when you're in a place of frustration, most of the time, frustration, they're in a place of, I just don't know. They're in a place of indecision. They just don't know which way to go, left or right. And when we talk about Micah, we found out in the book of 1 Samuel that her father used her as a pawn. How many of you have been used in your life as a pawn? A pawn. The intention of Saul was not good. When you read the book of 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, verse 49, it tells you where Micah, who she is, that she was the youngest daughter because she had an older sister. It tells you that then what? He changed his mind. So what happened? When you look at the first Samuel, the 18th chapter, verse 20, and it reads this, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. It pleased him. But you will say, one, it pleased him. So that means he really wanted this marriage to go on. He really wanted them to connect. He was a person of his word, and he was going to do what he told David, that he was going to fulfill the promise. Because he already broken the promise before. When you read verse 19, you'll see he broke the first promise and gave his older daughter away. So when he heard that Michal loved David, now, one thing about this scripture, it never said anything about David loving her, but it said, ooh, she loved David. She loved David. And then when you look at when you keep reading down, I'm just going to be skipping around, but you can read the rest of the chapter or the verses. And when Saul heard that, he had a plan. He said, this is my offer, get rid of David. So he told David in verse 25, and Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desire not any donry, but 100 foreskin of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul sought to make David fall by the hands of the Philistines. And when his servant told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired. David went in verse 27. He went, and even though Saul told him the amount that he wanted, David did what? 200. He did 200. And the tale was told to the king. And he was, and it was as that David can be Saul's son-in-law. And he said, and Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. 29, verse 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. How do you handle a situation like that? Before the marriage even came forth, before they even say, I do, if you may, there was opposition there. The intent was not good in the from the start. Saul had a motive, but he used his daughter, Micah, as a pawn in a chess game. He used her. I mean, you ask yourself the question, did he love his daughter? But you find that love didn't have anything to do with it, a parental love. He was just about what? Getting David. He was just about, I'm going to get rid of him. To remove David. So he did not mind using his daughter as a pawn in a chess game. So when you look at this, how did Michal feel? It tells us here she loved David. But how did David, because the Lord was with David, and I believe he's the same God yesterday, today, and even forevermore, and he's the same God today. What do you do when you find yourself in a situation like that? How does David do a relationship? How does he maneuver through a hookup? How does he maneuver through a connection through marriage? When you find out your father-in-law don't really like you like he pretended to, that there is what? An intent in his heart, an intent to cause harm. I intend to destroy you. How do you maneuver through that in a connection of relative or in a relationship? Do you do? And I'm reminded when you read before this chapter, David has always behaved himself wisely. And you got to know how to maneuver when you're in a place like that or a position like that. You have to know how to maneuver around it. You have to know how to be what? Wise. You have to know you need to stay on your knees and pray. You cannot afford not to be prayerful. You cannot afford not to keep God's faith and made Michael feel. He said she loved him. So because she loved him, when we look at the other chapter, when the father saw coming around trying to what? Get David again. And when you look at verse chapter 19:9, it talks about what was Saul's problem. He had a what? An evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. And as he sat in his house with his javel in his hand, and David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javel. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javel into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. And then verse 11 says, Saul also sent messenger unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. Now, when you know you got an enemy, you cannot afford to be on vacation, so to plead. He was a newlywed, right? So as a newlywed, you busy being newlywed, right? Enjoy the beach. Enjoy whatever it is that you just thank God for your relationship. But when you look at this, Saul's intent was coming out more and more. He couldn't hide how he really feels. He couldn't say, oopsie, it was a mistake. Oopsie, I didn't mean to do it. See, the devil cannot hide his intent. He said, well, that evil spirit from the Lord. But we cannot understand Saul. God did this one here. What is the person's excuse for doing what they're doing? I'm sure the Lord didn't give them that evilness. But the evilness came from them because of their thoughts, because of their character, because of their jealousy, because of their what? What's the word today in you to want to murder someone? What is causing you that you say, I will not stop until I destroy them? You can see their thoughts. Was a constant in David's life. And I'm sure Micah, she was in a bad position. How do you think she feels? My father, my old father, wants to kill my husband. Father wants to destroy him. I didn't even get, we haven't gotten married that long, and he wants to make me a widow that quick. There's no children produced yet, but he's trying to destroy. What do you do when you're in the midst of a storm like this? But we see that she did what? It keeps telling us that she would love him. When you read, Micah found out what the father was planning on doing. I tell you, you got to have an ear to hear today. When God revealed the truth of the matter, when God revealed that there's a trap being set for you, when God is saying to you, they're busy doing enchantment over your life, they're busy praying the wrong prayer over your life. Instead of praying, God bless them and bless their union, they're praying the other prayer. God will wake you up in the midnight hour and let you know it's time to pray. Enemy is on the parade again. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But God always has someone on the watch, on the wall. He always has someone with ears to hear what he says. So what happened here? Saul also sent messenger unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Micah, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And then it tells you what she did. It tells you she put a statue. It tells you she put gold hair on it. It tells you she covered it. It also tells you that she lied to her father and tells her father he's not feeling well. She had to go through all that. Why? Because of the intent of her father. So the question we would ask, why didn't she go with David, right? I'm reminded the word of God let us know in Genesis 2, the second chapter, verse 24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And we are also told in the, when God told Abraham to leave his father's house. So why is that? Because there's sometimes you got to leave the place you were brought up in. You got to leave the place where there's certain things that is established in the lineage, whether they be good or evil. There's times when you got to leave that place to go to another place to walk in the blessing of the Lord. But Michal, she was in her father's house. She did not leave the father's house. So it caused her to be caught in a struggle. She was struggling over the kinship between her father and her husband, David. So it comes a time in your life, you got to make a choice. Whose side will you be on? It's good to say, I'll be on the side of the right thing. It's good to say, I'll be on the side of the things of God and not the evil in my lineage. Or not in the evil that is being done, or the intent of their heart. She was caught in the struggle, but she did not make the attempt to escape. Isn't that something? Sometimes you're in a lineage or you're in a situation so long that you cannot, even though you know there's danger all around and danger alert is all around, but you're so familiar with the people around you. You're so familiar with your king, your lineage, that you try not to make the change. But not making the change can cost you something precious. It may even cost you your life. It may even cost you your blessing. And when we continue to read, even into the 19, verse 12 or 25, 44, even included in 2 Samuel, the third chapter, there's so many scriptures that bring forth reference to Michal. And it even talked about how when David escaped, Michal had a brother, and his name was what? Jonathan. So you ask yourself the question in today's 2020. I have a brother. My brother-in-law married to David. And indeed, my brother is going to meet David because he knows that my father is crazy. How is it I didn't give him a message for my husband? You ask yourself the question. How is it when Jonathan went to meet David, she did not try to go see him? She was so comfortable in her father's house? Or she did not want to be uncomfortable? She did not want to be in a place of not having enough or lack. Or is it because she was in the cool of the palace? She did not want to be in the wilderness. What was her reasoning? She did not cleave the ship. She stayed and did not make the change. So when you don't want to make the change, it makes things simple. And God has caused each and every one of us into change. When a person gets married, and even though you're born in, we're going to call it in your father's house, and we're going to use my last name, the Bond last name. Oh, my previous name was Neverson, my maiden name. Now, I had a choice. Do I want to stay in the Neverson household? What was the Neverson household all about? Or when I joined in and into the Bond lineage, do I completely just say, well, you know what? You stay with the Bond and I stay with the Neverson. No. Even though you may know about both family lineage, you know, when the Bible talks about you cleave, you no longer cling to your father and your mother. It does not mean you forget about your parents. No, the Word of God tells you to honor them. So you always honor your mother and your father. You always give them the due respect that is due unto them. But then you're moving on to a new place, a place you have not been before, a place that God called you to walk into, a new place that you don't know, but each step will bring you. You may think you have an idea, but believe me, it's never what we think it's going to be. Because it's the new step on the new journey, there's always a little thing you don't see coming. But you know what? That's what makes life. You learn along the way on your journey. So Michael had to deal with what was happening in the lineage. She was trying to stay loyal to her father. And she was still trying to stay with David. But then when we read along, as time passed, David married. And we talked about Abigail before and her husband. We talked about how she presented herself before David. How she was a woman of wisdom. Even though Abigail, she was married to Nabal, she recognized and she moved in wisdom. And she gave David and his company the food that was needed. So we read when he married Abigail and he had another wife also. So in those days, in 2020, news fly real fast. Did you hear your husband got remarried? Or well, we hope he's an ex-husband. But back then, he had more than one wife. Well, did you hear your husband just got married? Well, did you hear this? He married and he did not stay with that marriage and he moved on to someone else. Or did you hear your husband have mistresses around? In 2020, things does not stay silent. Everything is out in the open. So I'm sure she found out that David was married. So when we want to think about that, she found out that David had another wife. And he ended up with two wives. When we read further, we found that King Saul was still at his chess gaming self. He was still being manipulated. He was still wanted to cause harm. He wanted to destroy David. He wanted to kill him physically. He wanted to destroy him emotionally because he gave another man, David's wife, Michael. How do you think Michael feels? My father caused my husband to flee for his life. And even though he kept trying to someone else, and a lot of times, what do you think she was going through with the woman within her? Do you think she felt valuable or she was a value? Do you think she felt that she was really loved? How do you think she felt? How would you feel if you were kept? A lot of times, a woman has to deal with those emotions. They have to deal with the spirit of rejection or not good enough. I'm reminded about what Jacob and Leah and Rachel. How instead of him marrying the second, he was tricked and given Leah. And I'm sure if you look at it, look at it from Leah's point of view, how he was happy to be married. But then when you look around, you found out he did not care for you like you thought. You found out he cared more for Rachel because the softness of his eyes, when he looked at her, it lit up. When he talked to her, his voice purred. He said, men purr? Yes, they do. They're real nice and funny. And they're so nice and sweet. And when he looked at Leah, she saw that if the same light was not there. How do you think she said? I'm sure she did not expect to be the substitute. So we see another thing where the father came in and did a little chess playing. But Leah tried to make the best in the situation she was in. And sometimes you have to do that. You have to make the best in the situation you're in. Micah, she was a pawn. But then when you read further in 2 Chronicles, what is Micah again? When you look at 2 Samuel, the third chapter, and verse 13 reads, and he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Micah, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And you know what? When you read further down, you'll find out father had connected her with another man. And we see that the man was crying. Her husband really loved her. But you know what? She had to go back to David because what? She was still married to him. So when you look at those things that have happened to her, we see why when David came and he was worshiping God, and not just that, she know about God of David. But what was the God her father was worshiping? What was in her lineage that she did not reverence the true and living God? She did not have a relationship with the God that David was serving. So when she seen David, and you know what? She loved David. She loved David. But then we found out along the way, as time went by and David got more and more wise, how do you think she felt? She was despised. someone else? Or was it when she had to go back to David? Where did that despising came off? She was going through different things in her emotions. Did she say to herself, well, why did you come back? Or did she feel you did not fight for me? You did not stand up for me. You could have came and got me. We don't know today, but in today's language, that's what ladies would say. If you really cared about me, you know how to find me. You know where you left me at. You know where my address is. You know my father. There's nothing you don't know. All you had to do was not ring me, ring, ding, ding on the phone, and I will be right there. In today's language, people say that. Oh, you know my brother and my sister. You could have just told me, meet me over here or meet me over there. But they said David was so busy running and hiding and going forward with his life. And she felt like she was left behind. She loved him, but the Bible never tells us that he loved her. And remember now, his father, King Saul, promised the oldest daughter. Did David have feelings for the older daughter? Did he like what he seen? Or was the younger daughter, Martha, a substitution like Leah? Did she feel she was never good enough or she's the second best? We don't know. There's a many of ladies that feel they're not good enough. What do you do when you feel like you are not good enough? Or why do you feel you're not good enough? Was it from the words that was speaking or talk over your life? Was it, do your parents never told you, I love you? Was it you were never doted over on and say you are beautiful? Started this for you. Don't you know you can change your destiny? You can change it. Make it your business today. You can get up. You can dust yourself off. You can speak life into your life. Not because you started that way of being a chess piece, being passed around. When you come to that place of maturity and God has brought you into that place of knowing who you are, you can go to him. You can seek his face. He's the one who gives you the strength to stand, to endure, to bring you into that place of maturity, to bring you into that place of healing. He's the one. So Micah had to go back. My God, how many of you had to go back to the place you started? Because the place that you started, where you were broken in pieces, where you were not validated, he has to bring you back to that place again to make you, to mold you. So she had to go back. Her mindset was of her father's house, King Saul. We see that she exhibited the characteristics of her father. We see that she did not take on the newness of her life. But she continued to be molded and made in that atmosphere where she caught by saying something in a despiteful play way, you know the mouth. When we read, it says that she spied upon him. She said that word because she said it in a way. Why? Because she was upset. She was angry. Let's be real about it, y'all. She was angry. So she spoke to David. find out sometimes you say things in the heat of the moment. But how can you repair that? By acknowledging that you were wrong. Acknowledging that you were wrong don't mean that, you know, that you're not who you are. Acknowledging that you are wrong meaning that you did not allow pride to take you for a ride. Who's to tell if she had gotten it right? Who's to tell if she had said, I did not understand the trueness of what you were doing? Who is to tell? Sometimes we misjudge things by looking at things with our own eyes instead of asking God for the real meaning of things, not in season to what God is doing. But when you come to that place that you realize, do you say, God forgive me? Or do you try to repair that breach? Or you allow that word to stay there in the atmosphere? You allow that word to be stay there so it can embed it in the person and grow. God is holding us accountable to know right from wrong, holding us accountable. You say, well, I didn't know. But you know what? You do pray. You can ask God. You can ask to let understanding come in your way. So remember today, she was in a place where unfulfilled needs, unresolved problems. We see that everyone around her was producing. We see everyone around her was going up, moving up. But she was stuck in that place. She was stuck in her past. She was stuck of being left behind. So today, know that you don't have to be stuck any longer. Know that God made you. Know that everything that you have went through in your life is for a purpose and a reason. You don't have to stay in the same place, but you can pick yourself up again. If you find yourself in a relationship where the father-in-law, see, I'm being nice, the father-in-law could also mean the mother-in-law. Find yourself in a relationship. What you can do is ask God to cover you under the shadow of his wings. Ask God to always keep you in a place of alertness. Ask God to keep you and help you, because the God that you serve will not allow the enemy to have triumph over you. No, the God that we serve, he's able to bring you through. It does not matter who it is that may come up against you in your life, but know today that God is able to keep you. Know today that God is watching over you today, so you can speak life into your situation. You can speak life to your relationship. You can speak life into your children's life. They don't have to be like their grandparents or their great-grandparents or their great-great-great-great. They don't have to be that, because to remember something, what's in your heart? Is there anger in your heart or bitterness in your heart or unforgiveness in your heart? You got to release those things that is within you in order to go through and be free today. What you don't confront, it will come back again in your life. I know for myself, I've been in a lot of situations, but if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, if God didn't have people around me praying, if God did not have a prophet in my life with that prophet in eyes, Apostle Gloria Porter, if God get to know how did they treat their mother? How did they treat their family? What's in their lineage? Is there drunkenness in their lineage? Is there adultery in their lineage? What's in their lineage? We found out Saul's lineage was what? Of murder, of jealousy. Then when you look at it, God said, I'm the one that did it. So God allow you to be in that position. Know that he's able to bring you through. The one, it's time now for you to make the change. I really do believe this, y'all. When you reach a certain age, it's time for you to get over some stuff in your life. When I was reading about, you know, this of 10 years ago, and it talks about the different season in your life. And when it talks about when you're in your early teens, right, that's your summer of your life, meaning that, you know, your bright ideas, nothing bothers you. You're just starting off life, so you're in the 20s. But then when there's summer, there is spring. And in the spring of the age of 21 to 42, you got to make sure you're walking a certain thing, accomplishing certain things in your life. And when you reach the age of 42 to the 50s, to the 60s, you should, that's your autumn time. And it makes sense, y'all, in life, that you got to know that sometimes when things that you dealt with in your younger age, it's time now to confront it. It's time now to deal with it. It's time now to grow from it. It's time now to stop being the king's man or the little chess pieces. It's time now for you to be free from your lineage, from the past. Time now for you to let it go. It's time now to know who you are and where you stand. And know that today, don't allow the spirit of frustration to cause you to walk in a place of unfulfilled need. So today, if you have any questions, if you have any input, if you want to share, you can call right now. Or if you're on the line right now, you can press the button 1. And I'm sure there's some prophets on the other side. There's a bishop on the other side. There's deacons. There's Diane. There's a lot of people around. Give you the answer. You may want to know how to overcome this thing in your life. How can I let it go? How can I change? How? You can dial right now, and someone can listen to what you have to say or help you or pray with you. You don't have to be unfulfilled, but know into the hands.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know that was a shock, but come on. You know what Tuesday. Thursdays are, and it was just a blessing to hear the word again. So if you have missed the broadcast from the beginning and would like to hear that message again, you can go ahead and visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries and go ahead and click on that link, and you will hear that broadcast from the beginning. And that broadcast came forth back in November of 2020. Amen. So know that the word is always, always on time. You may feel it's not for you today, but you know what? The messages that you listen to, whether it is right now that person is speaking live or you're hearing a recording, Know that at times when you're going through something, the word will come back in your spirit to encourage you, to push you, and let you know that you can go on, that you can make it through whatever it is that you're going through. Amen. So again, we thank you for tuning in and listening to the broadcast. If you have been enjoying the broadcast from the late Apostle Porter and the late Pastor Sharon, go ahead, visit our Facebook page and drop a comment under it. Drop a comment under all our blog talks and let us know how we are doing. Amen. For it's not our broadcast, but God's broadcast. And we just thanking you, appreciating you for, you know, just tuning in and listening. Amen. So at any point in time that you have a question, you may be in need of prayer, you want to accept God into your life, you know, you have a praise report, that number is 347-857-3925. Again, that's 347-857-3925. And press the number 1. Remember, God is love, and you are loved by God. Amen. I'm just thanking God for this broadcast. I thank God for you. And just join us every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go ahead and bring along a friend and say, come on and tune in to this broadcast. There's an awesome man and woman of God that graced this broadcast. Amen. Join us every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern. Join us every Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Wailing Walls Prayer Conference line. And that calling number is 712-832-7144, code 3333#. That's every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So call a friend. Again, share the number, email, text. You know, however you want to do it, write it on a piece of paper, give it to them, and tell them, come on and join the prayer conference line. Praying one for another, tearing the devil kingdom down, and taking back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. Amen. Know your rightful place today and continue to be your brothers and sisters' keepers, encouraging them in, you know, in Christ today. Amen. Join us every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our Facebook Live service. For those of you that do not know, our page is, again, Logion International Ministries, City of Victory. Go ahead, find it on Facebook, hit like and follow, and you know when we go live. Amen. And if you do not have Facebook, you can always use that conference line number. Go ahead and write this number down, 712-832-7144, code 3333#. And just listen in to the service. Amen. Join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, Bible Talk is awesome. Bible Talk is awesome. We keep it real. We speak about what's going on, and we have scriptures to back it up. Amen. Because there is nothing new under the sun. It may have a different name, but it's not new. Amen. So come on, join us every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that calling number is 712-832-7144, code 3333#. You would like to sow a seed into this radio broadcast? For those of you that have Zelle, you can do so by entering logionint@gmail.com. That's logionint@gmail.com, or visit our website at logioninternationalministries.com and hit that donate button. We do ask that you specify in notes what your donation is for. If you do not use any one of those platforms, you can mail it in to the City of Victory, P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. Again, that's P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. Till then, be blessed.
Let God, my sister, you can't handle it. Let God.